Okay, I have a word for you this morning. Carrie shared the word for the beginning of the year, and very powerful word. She also shared a very powerful word that was kind of some more that went with it last week from Jeremiah. Just very powerful word. But I have something that I feel like the Lord is wanting us to look at again at the head of the year. I'm actually calling it, and I don't like to name a message because I don't ever know what to name it. I'm always asking somebody help. But I felt to call it Church on the Rock Training Ministry 2024. And so if y'all will just hang with me, it's probably not a long word, but I never know. We'll see how it goes, okay? So, Lord, right now we just... Oh, God, we give honor to you. We love you. We love who you are. We're so grateful for who you are. And right now we give honor to your word. We give honor to what you desire to speak to us this morning. Holy Spirit, I ask you to help us to hear and help us to understand what it is you're wanting us to hear in this word today as individuals, but also as a body of people. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I really want to move this. It just keeps feeling like it's in my way. I don't know why. It just kind of does. When I look over, I keep seeing that. From the time of the first Passover, when the children of Israel were about to be delivered out of Egypt. From that first time when God gave them instruction of what to do in that Passover lamb and so forth. And they did everything he said, but he told them ahead of time, he said, now you're going to do this every year. You're to celebrate this every year from now on as an ordinance forever. You're to celebrate this. So from that time forward, God established the feasts that they were to continue on. In fact, he commanded them to continue on keeping the feasts every year. He wanted them to remember what he had done for them, for one thing. He wanted them to be able to teach it to their children way back, you know, 1,000 years ago. Here's what God did for us when we were slaves in Egypt. And there were other feasts as well that took place, like 50 days later when they met the Lord met them at the Mount, was known as the Feast of Weeks, or 49 weeks plus a day was 50, which is Pentecost, which means 50. That was another celebration of a feast, and then there was tabernacles and so forth. There were other feasts as well, but the Lord wanted them and commanded them each week, I mean each year, you're to keep these feasts. They still do, okay? They still do. You might see them sometimes on your calendars, the different celebrations, Jewish celebrations. So they were to remember it, to remember what God had done for them. They were to tell it to their children, and they were to keep alive the testimony of the Lord. A lot of these feasts were prophetic. Like, for instance, later when Jesus went to the cross, he became our Passover lamb. It was fulfilled. Passover was fulfilled in Jesus. Okay? When the Holy Spirit was poured out 50 days after Jesus left, Pentecost was fulfilled in that. Okay, so I'm just saying some of it's, and some of it's still prophetic that is to come, like tabernacles. But some of these things have been fulfilled and some of them are still to be fulfilled. But the bottom line, it was a time for Israel to all come together and rejoice as a nation, All the things God had done in preserving them as a nation. Now, when they entered the promised land, they were all given land. They were given, each tribe had an inheritance. that were given a parcel of land. They had their own visions as far as what God purposed for them. They had their own prophecies spoken over them. And so they had a plan and a purpose, each individual tribe of Israel. But then they also collectively had a plan and a purpose from God as well to make an impact on the nations. And so had there not been this opportunity for them to come together. See, now they're all in different lands all over the place with their own purpose, their own vision, doing their thing, right? But then they're going to come together once a year and celebrate. And in doing this, that way they don't lose their common vision as a nation who is called to impact the other nations of the earth. Are y'all with me? Everybody okay with that? I don't know if I explained it very, very well or not, but. So as tribes, they had an individual purpose from God. And then collectively as a nation, they had a purpose from God. Now, we, the church, are called a holy nation unto the Lord, right? And I'm talking about born again believers. I'm not talking about, you know, you have to be this denomination or that. God's not a denominational God. It's about being born again into the kingdom. I'm not against denomination. I'm just saying it's about being born again. And we have different groups who come together of born again believers who come together like here, who have a purpose from the Lord. And then there are others as well. There's First Church, there's Bethel, there's Worship Center, Goldsboro Worship Center. There's all these different places that have purpose as well from the Lord. Yet collectively we are one body, right? Isn't that right? Now, in here, there's all of you with purpose and plan from God. Yet together, collectively, we make a group. Are y'all with me? And then all over Goldsboro, there's more groups. And all over America, there's more groups. And all over the world, there are other parts of the body of Christ. And this is something I feel like is really important for us. I mean, it seems real elementary in some ways, yet we don't always think about it. And we don't always give it the value that we need to learn to give it, because the days we're moving into, God wants to bring His church into a place of unity. And the church is so divided. Shoo-wee. The church is really, really divided. And God is wanting us to come into a place of unity. And so we really need to understand the individuality of Church on the Rock, yet at the same time, the importance of all of us together. You know, each one of you in your place actually makes up Church on the Rock and God's purpose for Church on the Rock. But when you put all of the churches together with their different purposes and functions and so forth, we all represent God better as His body in the earth, right? You know, my body would not live well if all my parts wanted to be the heart. If everything just wanted to be, if my liver just wanted to be the heart. If every other, my stomach and every other part, and it never got a chance to function as what it's created to function as, I would die. That sounds really silly, but you know, Paul had to address this at the church in Corinth. He addressed this very issue. So what I'm saying to us as a church, we need to learn to respect the uniqueness of each part in here. And the uniqueness of each church body that gathers on Sunday mornings or whatever day they gather. Because our unity is not supposed to be a unity of conformity. We're not all supposed to look alike. How boring is that? And we don't need another Joy, I promise you. Shane Howell can't handle another Joy. We're not to be a unity of conformity. We are a unity in diversity. Amen. We're supposed to be able to celebrate and appreciate all our different gifts, all our different, the way God chooses to place each one of us in the body. He loves that. I'm not talking about differences that are out of whack with the Word of God, okay? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about our uniqueness, the way God has chosen us, gifted us, talented us, called us, purposed our lives, and how all that fits together so well in the body of Christ. Not one single one of us has it all. I don't have it all. Josh ain't got it all. None of you have it all. And no one church, Church of the Rock, doesn't have it all. We don't have it all. But you put all of us together, respectful of one another, appreciative of one another, honoring and valuing one another, and then you put Church on the Rock and other churches where we are respectful and appreciative of their part, et cetera, et cetera. Then we have something that is pleasing to the Lord, and the Lord's going to be able to really do something in that. Not any one of us, you know, I need all the other parts because they do different stuff. I don't excel in everything. We don't excel in everything. We may excel in some things, but there's some things that maybe First Church excels in that we don't. Well, I say maybe. I'm sure. I don't mean maybe. I'm sure. I'm sure there are other churches around here that excel in other things that we don't excel in. We may touch on those places, but that doesn't mean we excel in them necessarily. And so we're needing one another. So what are we going to do? So what do we do with all this? We want to learn to respect and value, appreciate, not criticize, but love and celebrate other parts, but not quit being who we are and not devalue who we are and not devalue who they are. You know, a lot of times we look around at other people and what they're doing, then we start feeling like we're not doing enough. Right. Ever done that? Been there? I have. I have. So at the same time that I don't want to quit being who I'm supposed to be, I don't want us to quit being who we're supposed to be, I want us to know that we're a significant part, but so are the others. Amen? Turn with me and let's look at that scripture, what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12. Y'all cool? And it's super elementary, but yet it was a necessary thing for him to say to the church. And I think from time to time, it doesn't hurt us to remember this. Verse 12, for as the body is one and has many members, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Greek or Jew, slave or free, we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. We're one body, many members, right? If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? And now God has set members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleases. He does it like He pleases to do it. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you, nor the head to the feet, I don't need you. But much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. I mean, they may not look like anything, but yet they're necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we are to bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts, which have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, so that there would be no schism or division in the body,
but that the members should have the same care one for another. I mean, we could go on and on, but the bottom line is we are many parts, one body. And it's foolish for my foot to say, well, I'm really not needed. Well, I'm not really significant. Well, I'm not really valuable because I'm not the hand. I'm not as pretty as the hand, and I don't look as good as the hand or whatever. It's silly. We need every single part. God made our bodies a certain way to function and work and do its part. And it's the same in the body of Christ. He likens the church in the same way. Now, let me just give you some history and example on this for fun, okay? In the early church, the earliest Christians that were there in Jerusalem had to escape and flee from Jerusalem because of persecution. And where they fled to was Antioch. Antioch was known as the site of the formation of the very first church because they all fled there, and that was where they were first called. The followers of Jesus were first called Christians. You see that in Acts chapter 11. They were known as the church at Antioch. They were the first place. Antioch was known as a mission sending church. I mean, that's the first place they went to, okay? It's the first place they went to. So from there, they would be sent forth from Antioch to other parts of the world with the gospel of the kingdom of God. So it was known as a mission sending church. The church at Ephesus was the center to the spreading of the gospel during the first century. They had a lot to overcome. Check this out. The temple of Diana was there at Ephesus with all their sexual perversion in their worship. Kind of like what we've talked about with Corinth and the temple of Apollos. The people were all caught up in this cultish wickedness and sexual perversion. There was also the practices of the Nicolaitans, who promoted fornication and an unrestrained lifestyle. So the church had to deal with people who are coming into the kingdom of God with these kinds of mindsets. This is what worship looks like. No, it's not. You see what I'm saying? Well, this is how we... No, no. So many things that had to be broken over their mindsets and the way they were used to thinking about things. There were also false prophets that were arising during that time in that city. So there was a whole lot of stuff that the church at Ephesus had to endure. But there also was a place of where they needed to carry a strong message of deliverance, of freedom from that kind of stuff, of breaking the power of those kinds of strongholds over the way that people thought and the way they had been accustomed to doing worship. So they concentrated, that church was very focused on salvation message, the power of the cross, the power of Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus, and how with the power of the cross and the power of the name of Jesus, people could break free from these kinds of lifestyles. They could live in Christ Jesus with godly character. Amen? So that was more of an emphasis there. Now, at Philippi the city was there on a Roman road, and Rome really wanted to make Philippi like a little mini version of Rome. And they were a major seaport area where they were located, and the way they were tucked up in, it's like it kind of went around like this, and you had little cities along here, and they're right up in here, and this is water. Did y'all see that? Did y'all catch that? But the way it was situated in there, they were perfect for trade with other cities. And so this one was a really interesting to me little church start, because if you'll remember in Acts 16, I won't go there and read it, but just for review, in Acts 16, they had been praying, Paul and Silas, and the Holy Spirit told them not to go to Asia. So instead they went to Troas. And in verse 9, it says that Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia calling him saying, come. So he's like, it's the Lord. So they go there to this place. While they're there, there is a businesswoman named Lydia. She's a believer. She's a worshiper. She had a major import-export business in materials. And I think it said specifically like purple and stuff like that. Also, in this same area, he comes up on this little gal, this young girl, who has a spirit of divination. And these people own her and are making money off of her, these men. Paul casts the devil out of her. They're ticked off because now they ain't making no money off this girl anymore. So they had Paul and Silas thrown in prison. I'm talking about just verses here, okay? This stuff's going on in Philippi, okay? And out of that, they end up in prison. At the midnight hour, they're worshiping. There's an earthquake that takes place. It breaks loose everybody in the prison's shackles and so forth. The prison guard, who's going to get killed now because they all got free, he's like, oh, no, he's going to kill himself, you know. And they're like, no, we're still here. We're still here. And so you ought to kill yourself. This guy ends up getting saved. His whole house gets saved. They all get baptized, the prison guard. Thus starts the church at Philippi. It, based on, out of all these wild miracles and wild, amazing acts of the Lord. They all birthed the church here, and this church was known as a major prayer church. Like, they get in here and pray and see folks get free. They get here and pray and see God move miraculously. So this is this church. Are y'all seeing different churches with different purposes? I love that. See, I like that. The church in Galatia, they're not over here on the water like some of these others. They're over here in the middle of nowhere, it seems like. You know, landlocked, so to speak. But they were known as a hub for the spread of the gospel to the other regions. Okay? So you had all these little ports and places, and the gospel was easy to be spread. Now you get over here in this dry land area, and they are a hub to preach the gospel throughout the rest of the region. So here you have all these little individual people who have a call of God on their life, in a group who has a call of God on this, on the church at Philippi, the church at Antioch, the church at Ephesus, the church at Galatia, all these different churches. And they all have a significant role and everybody needs to do this and everybody needs to do that. But they had an emphasis, a greater emphasis in one area. Now we have churches same way. We've just been talking about that in the same way. We have churches all around that have a major emphasis on evangelism, on the prophetic, on the word of faith. Some who have a major emphasis on missions or on prayer or on worship. Okay, are y'all with me? And I like all of it, and I think all churches ought to have all of it, okay? I want it all, okay? Yeah, I do. I think these things should be a part of each body. But I do understand that some bodies carry greater emphasis in certain areas. How God uses all of that for his purpose, to fulfill a bigger picture, a greater role in the earth. All of these different churches are designed to do their part. And like we said earlier, they don't have the handle on it all. They just excel in certain areas because of their calling. But here's what happens. A lot of times when we listen to them, and we do, I like to hear other preachers. Monday morning, I'm going to be listening to somebody preaching to me. I want somebody preaching to me, okay? And I'm going to be, you guys, my husband. I like being preached to a lot. But what happens is you start hearing other pastors and leaders and ministries sharing what they're doing. And the next thing you know, you're thinking, dang, Am I supposed to be doing that? Maybe we ought to be doing that instead. Are y'all with me? Ever felt that way? I have. I mean, I'm just being honest. I'm the one up here. I have to expose myself in front of everybody here. I'm the one who tells the truth that I am that person. Wow. And from time to time, I have really found myself in that situation. Oftentimes, actually, I have found myself in that situation. I don't think there's anything wrong with checking your heart. Lord, are we still on task? Are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? But at the same time, the Lord said, while I appreciate that you do that, every time you've ever asked me that, every time, I have never said anything different to you than the one thing. I call you a training ministry. I've never changed my mind about that, nor has my desire changed to do that. Never once. To train and equip everyday believers to be able to live successfully in Christ Jesus because of the work of the cross, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, for every single believer to be able to live a life of victory in Christ Jesus. Live it out in your life, you know? But not only that, to be able to minister to other people. A lot of people think, well, it's the pastor that has to minister to other people, or it's this person or that person or certain people. No, you should be able to be doing the work of ministry. You should be doing the work of ministry as well. You should be able to, because of the power of the cross in your own heart and life and the Holy Ghost who lives inside of you, you need to be able to minister to other people too. Amen. Amen. And that's part of what we do as a training ministry. We also are called to train and to raise up and train up this prophetic generation of kids who are called to go forth to the nations. I had him say this to me just a few weeks ago. He said, it's time to rescue a generation that I have marked for my purpose, but the enemy has marked for destruction. It is imperative that we as parents, teachers, elder generation, that we know truth, that we're equipped and ready to help this younger generation. It's really important that we can speak truth in love, that we can minister to them, disciple them, mentor them, pray for them, love them and watch them grow up and become a generation who will do greater things than all these previous generations have done. That this generation, your grandchildren will do mighty exploits greater than what we've all done. My grandchildren will. They are called to. They are called to this. And they are an end time generation who will prepare the way for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to know and understand our place in this. We're also called to raise up and set forth fivefold ministry. He said, I've called you to this. He actually said my name. I've never known him to say my name straight out like that. He said, Joy, I've called you to this, and I have called Church on the Rock to this work. This is what we're called to do. He said, I want you to go after it. I don't want you to allow other people's vision to sidetrack you. I want you to be confident to train, equip, and raise them up. And yes, this is the year of the open door, but he said this. He said, as you walk through that open door by faith, it will be a year for greater clarity. It'll be a year for greater insight and greater understanding for God's purposes, for your home, for your family, for your finances, for any place of ministry, and for this training ministry as well. It will be a place where as we walk through by faith, God is going to begin to open that up to us and help us see and understand this in a greater way. He said, now, it will not be without challenges, but I have overcome your enemy. He said, I've equipped you with my spirit and my word to overcome and handle every challenge. Some challenges will need strength and wisdom to handle, which I will give, he says. He says in James, if you lack wisdom, If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, who will give it liberally and not upbraid you. He won't fuss at you for asking for wisdom. Some will need to be overcome through steadfast endurance, he said, which I also will give. But I have equipped you to overcome. Period. She said, this year will be marked as a year we begin to understand training ministry better and greater than we ever have before. And we will begin to walk in it in a more powerful and successful way. So I think about training ministry, and I think about Paul, who under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when he talked in Ephesians about the place of fivefold ministry to grow up and mature the body of Christ, etc., that they were to equip the saints for the work of ministry. They were to help them grow up and mature into the measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. In other words, a body of people that's in equal proportion to the head. Think about that. He's the head. Is the body of Christ in any kind of proper proportion with the head? I think not. At least not right now. But this is what we're supposed to be after. This is what we're supposed to be after. It says it in Ephesians 4. To help them grow and mature to the measure of the stature of Jesus Christ, who is the head, and that each individual part, not just Church on the Rock, but you individual parts within Church on the Rock, that each individual part would be able to function properly and the way God designed you to function. You know, as a training ministry, this is what we're called to do. This is what we're called to do. This is what we're called to do where the church is concerned. To become what he has called us to become. Do what he's called us to do. So we have what we call teaching and training and equipping. We've done a whole lot of teaching. I'm just not working, I don't think. At all. Oh, okay, it is. We've done a whole lot of teaching. Teaching is just the basic first part, okay? And we've done a whole lot of that through the years. But equipping is training is a little bit different than equipping, isn't it? You should know that, Jonathan. You should know that. Mark knows that. Any of you who've been in military know and understand that. Or had a father or grandfather or a kinfolk who was in the military, you understand there's teaching, but then there's training. But then there's equipping. You don't put the gun in their hand yet, do you? But if you're gonna teach them and train them, at some point you gotta equip them, right? Like I taught you and I trained you, but I'm holding the gun all the time. No, I might for a while. I might for a while. I'm just saying though, equipping has to come and then there comes a deployment. Right? And I would say that we have majored on teaching and there have been times in our past where we have done more training and trying to do the equipping part. But I'll tell you what, I have had the Lord really get me focused in on this now. It's time. It's time. This year we're going to get much better insight and understanding on how he wants us to do this as far as going further with not just the teaching, but the training and the equipping and so forth. Amen. I believe that he's going to really give us some great insight in this. By the grace of God, we're going to do it. Amen. By the grace of God, we're going to do it. So if you would stand to your feet. And I'm starting out my year with time in the bank. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, when it doesn't seem like anything's going on, don't you ever be fooled. God's got stuff going on. He's got stuff going on. He has things he's doing and things he's planning. Things he's orchestrating behind the scene that you don't know. And if you only look at what you can't see, you'll never know, will you? At some point, we have to just say, you know what, Lord? You purposed us to be here. And doesn't matter what has happened in the past, we are here today. And we are here with purpose. And we want to fulfill everything you have planned for our lives. So right now, Lord, we just yield our hearts to you. As born-again believers, we have a place in your kingdom. We have a place in the body of Christ. As people in this church, we have a place where we belong. And Lord, I ask you in the upcoming days and weeks and maybe even months to help us to understand with greater clarity our individual purposes, our individual, the things that you want to, how you want to use us individually, where we begin to realize, wow, I'm really gifted in this way, and wow, God is really pulling my heart in that direction. Lord, help us to be able to equip and prepare your people the way you want them prepared. Help us to do that. I yield to you for this, Lord. I yield to you for this. I don't know how to do it on my own, but you do. And I yield to you for your help, for your wisdom, for your instruction in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you that you are not through with Church on the Rock. You are not done with this thing called training ministry. I thank you, Lord, that you are, this is a year where you told me that I would begin to understand in a greater, greater way what this really means and what it's to look like. So I receive that. We receive this word as a church body. We thank you for it. And we believe you to move forward in 2024. In Jesus' name. Amen. Does anybody need prayer for anything? Anybody need prayer?